7 when I'm stone cold sober. Like she don't care as much as I do, it's weird sometimes.
Happy Easter, Grinders. Welcome back to the Weekend Grind Podcast, brought to you by rotogrinders.com. The Weekend Grind crew is in the building here for Easter to cover the baseball slate for you guys. I'm Josh Sergiant, as always, with my co-host Travis, Mr. Chalk Mangone. Travis, happy Easter, man. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, excited for a little MLB action today. Should be fun on Easter, and should be a fun day. Just hang out and enjoy family and have a good time.
And eat way too many chocolate bunnies till we feel nauseous, right? Do you do that, or is that just me that I still do that at 28 years old?
I'm not a big fan of the chocolate bunnies. I'll eat the other stuff, like the Reese's. I like the Reese's eggs ones, you know, those things. Those are pretty good. But I'll have my fair share enough of candy. Not too much, but just enough to, you know, dabble and have a good time.
Yeah, have a family feast. You know, I'm Italian, you know, from New York. That's what we do every holiday. We just get together and just feast up, go to church in the morning, and then go eat all the food and take a nice little food coma nap afterwards. But then watch some games. We got plenty of baseball. We got some basketball. Travis, you doing any basketball content today?
No basketball for me. Well, I mean, I'll be doing some stuff in the lineup HQ, just put my cash game picks in there, but that's about it. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, definitely check out, Travis's cash game, picks in the lineup HQ. It helps you when you're using the lineup HQ to build some lineups. Very, very cool. Has filters for other great analysts here on RotoGrinders as well. Give us both a follow on Twitter if you haven't already. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. That's at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis Mangone. Shoot over any questions or comments, anything you would like to say to us. You can say it there. We love interacting with you guys. And as lineups pop up throughout the day, you could ask us for any adjustments you might want to make. We give you our opinion. Love giving you guys advice. But yeah, we got 7 games here on the main FanDuel slate, 8 games on the main DraftKings slate. They include that last game with Houston and Texas at 3:05. So main slate's locking at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you get your lineups in before then. Should be a pretty fun day. Love holidays, you know, where we get to watch some sports too, hang out with family. It's, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and especially on a nice Sunday, we get to relax and do that. So looking forward to it. But yeah, without further ado, Travis, you ready to hop into these games?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, cool. First game on the slate we're going to cover is the Minnesota Twins in Baltimore against the Orioles. 9 runs is the game total. Pretty much a pick 'em here. The Twins -100 and Baltimore -112 on the money line. We've got 2 pitchers here, guys who have shown flashes of upside, especially last season. We got Jose Berrios on the mound for the Minnesota Twins, and we've got Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. Now, Travis, I like to call Gausman the gas man, gas can Gausman. Guy really has a lot of blow-up potential, but he has had some pretty big games in the past, especially last season, where he surprised me, and I know that you were on him a few times during those good games. Is Gausman the guy you might want to target on the slate?
Yeah, I mean, he's no Kyle Gibson, right? But no, he's solid. He's a good option today. I actually don't hate him. Like, I think that there's reasons to not, like, hate him completely. The problem is there's other options I kind of prefer instead at the top, but 6.9K for him, he's kind of cheap. So on DraftKings, like if you're looking at the cheap pitchers, I understand maybe trying to take a shot on him. Again, not my favorite spot for a guy like him on the slate, but if you're looking at cheap guys, like I think he enters the conversation as like maybe like a tournament dart that you can kind of throw. So again, I don't hate it. I think there is enough upside where he can get it done, but not like a core player or anyone that I'm really all over.
Yeah, no, me either. How about Berrios on the other side?
So Berrios is one of those guys, like, again, like a young, super talented pitcher, guys I want to be buying on because I'm assuming his price tag is just going to keep going up, up, up. And, like, dude, the Orioles are just, man, they are so boom or bust. So, like, whenever a pitcher with strikeout upside is playing the Orioles, I feel like we just have to have interest, right? The Orioles, they'll either strike out with the best of them or they'll hit a ton of home runs. That's just what their MO is. That's what they do. So, yeah, I think Berrios is fine at 9K, you know, if you're building out your lineups and he kind of fits fits your construction. I don't hate putting him in tournaments, but again, not a guy I'm like going out of my way to roster or anything like that. I think he's a fine play, but there's just better plays, I think, at pitcher that I already prefer. Again, got these two pitchers, I could see playing him in tournaments. I think they're fine, but not in love with them completely. There's just other pitchers I'd rather have. I don't know about you, but what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that in other, maybe on a shorter slate or different circumstances, these are pitchers that we'll end up targeting throughout the season, just not on this slate for me as well. How about any of the hitters in this game? Because the run totals here are actually pretty high. Like I said, that game total here at 9 runs, which is, I believe, the highest run total. Yeah, it's the highest run total on the slate. So that should intrigue us here, right, with that Vegas projection to maybe target some bats.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Again, I think this is a game where you can make an argument for both. You can make an argument for the bats and even like the pitchers, but I don't know. It's just a game I really don't love completely. I think I'm just going to try my best to stay away from it as best as possible. But again, like that 9 run total, right? It's one of the higher ones on the slate. So I get it. I'm kind of torn at what I want to do here. Because again, I think there is strikeout upside here, but there is blowout potential from both. Because we know when Berrios doesn't have the control, he can be a disaster. And, you know, Kevin Gausman, we call him a gas can sometimes because he can be. So I get it. I, you know, if someone says they're going to want to stack it up on either side, I wouldn't talk them out of it. But again, I'm kind of like torn on this game, kind of the way I want to approach it right now. So sorry, I'm kind of wish-washy on it. But I think it's fine in tournaments. I get it if you want to attack it. Again, the run totals for good reason why you want to. But I don't know. I think there's other spots I'm already looking at that I already have more interest in.
Yeah, Berrios, you know, his big control issues come against lefties. You see his walk rate jump from 6.4% to righties up to 12.3% against lefties. So that's where his issues with control come in, that 12% walk rate. And the issue is Baltimore doesn't really have a lot of big lefty bats in the lineup. You got Chris Davis, who they're putting at the top of the lineup now, leading off, and he's still fairly cheap. So maybe that's a guy you want to take a dart on, you know, if you want to, you know, if you want to take someone here out of the bats in this game. For me, I would just say, you know, maybe give a shot on Chris Davis on like FanDuel, where he's cheap and you know, top of the order. So that's where I would go. But other than that, no one for me. You want to move on to the next game?
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, this is a game that I feel like, you know, on paper it looks like a game I want to have exposure to, but I'm just not as interested. I guess the if I do have interest in one side of the ball and you force me to pick it, I'll probably just hop back on the twin side. You know, they treated me well yesterday, and they're just in a smaller ballpark, so that's obviously going to be something that's good for them. So if you force me to pick, I guess I'd go on to them, but other spots I like on the slate instead. So let's just move on.
All right, next game on the slate, we've got my New York Yankees in Toronto against the Blue Jays. 8.5 is the run total here. Pretty much, you know, another pick 'em here. -111 for the Yankees on the money line. -101 for the Toronto Blue Jays. It looks like it's supposed to be a pretty close game here. We've got Sonny Gray on the mound for the Yankees. Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Blue Jays. This is a hitter-friendly park. You know, two guys that, you know, could throw well, but neither of them are necessarily dominant pitchers by any means. So we could see some runs fly in this game. And I think that we could kind of sneakily get some under-owned bats here. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, it's just tough, right? Like, Stroman and Sonny Gray, they're both, you know, pretty solid pitchers. Like, Marcus Stroman is never a guy that I like to attack. Like, I don't think anyone's ever like, yeah, Marcus Stroman, I want to attack him. But we have these Yankees big bats, right? They're team, you know, they're bats that we always want to target, right? I feel like on any slate, you can be like, yeah, Aaron Judge, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez. That's just like a deadly, like, power lineup. But against a guy like Marcus Stroman, I'm just going to do my best to stay away. He's just a really good ground ball pitcher. And I just think, you know, if you want to take shots on, like, you know, Stanton here and there, I don't hate that. But I don't know. I'm kind of just staying away for the most part with that. Sonny Gray, that's the other one I'm kind of debating on what I want to do here. I think that Sonny Gray, again, he's another guy, pretty solid pitcher all around. He can get a lot of ground balls, and he's just a good pitcher. I mean, he's not a guy that I try to, like, attack, right? So, again, this is another game where I'm just like, pitchers are better than the last game, too. I just think it's a better spot to just keep staying away. I'd rather look at, like, the twin side of the ball more so far of the games that we talked about. I'd rather go over to that game. And this game is probably even more of a fade spot for me, to be honest. It's just really tough to have any interest in a lot of these bats. I get it with the run totals and whatnot. But, you know, Gray is a pretty solid pitcher, and so is Stroman. And, you know, the Yankees have a really solid bullpen. Do we really want to attack the Yankees that hard? And I don't know. I just think I'm kind of staying away from this one, too. What about you, Josh?
I have some tournament interest here in the Toronto righties, you know, the particularly the Toronto righty power bats here, just for the fact that, you know, someone has to score runs here. Toronto at home here, and Sonny Gray with these reversed numbers. If we look deeply into his stats, we see that he gives up a 33.6% hard hit rate to other to righty batters in, you know, in the past season. So for me, that leads me to guys like Josh Donaldson or even Justin Smoke, maybe some Gurchick in there too. So I don't mind targeting, you know, some of these righties here on the Toronto side, and just to get exposure to them. If I get Donaldson at under 5% in a tournament, you know, in a spot like, you know, like this against Sonny Gray, where he could connect with one and put one out in a good hitter's park, I'll take that every time, man. You know, a little Donald Dong action here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, Josh Donaldson's a really good hitter and whatnot, so I get it. I don't know, just, it's weird. I don't know. I feel like I'm just, like, really, like, tight on where I'm going, and it might be chalky spots today, but I kind of just, and that's where I'm at right now at this point. So, I don't know, it's a game I don't love, but obviously, like you said, you had some interest. Do you have any interest in, like, the Yankees bats at all against a talented pitcher like Stroman that just doesn't get a lot of hard contact on him?
I do, when it comes to Stroman. Here's the thing with Stroman, like you said, he's such a good ground ball pitcher, 59.5% ground ball rate to righties and 63.1% to lefties. You know, the guy is pretty much cutting the grass anywhere he goes that has grass and not turf. So one thing, though, to look at is that he gives up hard contact still to both sides of the plate, 31% to righties and 32.3% to lefties. And his fly ball rate, just a bit higher against righties at 21.8%. So if I was going to go for anyone here, I'll probably just go for, like, you know, like, I wouldn't mind going, like, for the big three and putting in, like, Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez and taking a tournament shot on that as well. But if I'm making one lineup, if I'm making one lineup, none of these Yankees are going to make it into my lineup, not against Stroman here. But if I'm making 10, I'll make one lineup that has, like, a big three stack in there from the Yankees, just because you'll get them very, very low owned, even with the name recognition in the spot. And there's some upside to be had for sure.
Yep, I think that's fair. Again, I think the Yankees are going to be this team that, like, whenever there's this, like, you know, the Astros are probably, like, they're going to be the chalky team that a lot of people are going to want to stack, right? Like naturally, because people will be jamming in those Astros, then you'll get, like, guys like Stanton and Judge and Sanchez kind of on their own. I think that'll happen, like, throughout the season, and, you know, eventually it'll turn back and be the Astros that are that, but, like, we'll see a lot of that back and forth this year at times, just because those Yankees big bats are going to be pretty priced up a lot of the year.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next game. We got your team on this game now. We just talked about mine. We got the St. Louis Cardinals in New York against the Mets. That's the Travis Mangone team, the New York Mets. 7.5 is the run total. Pretty low run total here, and we see it's pretty much, again, like a pick of -119. The Cardinals a slight favorite. Mets +107 on the money line. And we got two, you know, young pitchers here who have a lot of, you know, a lot of good potential here to become great big league pitchers who have shown, you know, flashes of greatness. We got Luke Weaver on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals and Steven Matz on the mound for the Mets. So it's pretty much a match of the young guns, and Vegas really believes in these young arms with this low run total and, you know, pretty close spread that we got going on here. So what do you think here, Travis? You think that this is a spot where we could maybe target these young arms at a cheap price?
Yeah, I mean, I like Weaver and Matz here. I think these are two guys I'm targeting. I think if you wanted to, like, they're just really, really cheap, you know, for what they are. It's just, like, this price tag's on them. I mean, 8K and 8.2K, if they're going to be back in, like, their form that I'm expecting, like, I really like these two options. These are guys I think you could play together on the same team and just kind of help to have a pitcher's duel. You know, it's one of the lowest totals on the slate at 7.5 runs, and I'm expecting this to really be a pitcher's duel. I love Weaver. I love Matz. I'm going to get exposure to both. I think I'm going to go, like, equal exposure, too. It's not going to be one of those things where I kind of pick one or the other. I think I'm just going to do my best to kind of go equal on my exposure with them. One thing I do like about the Mets, right, again, you know, I'm a Mets fan and all, but you know, Josh, you've watched the Mets enough. They can swing and miss with the best of them, too. They also have some K's in that lineup, even though they've been hitting pretty well, and they've looked really great. It seems like their energy has been awesome. I heard the announcer say that, and it was, like, the best way to sum it up is, like, they've been really, like, kind of fired up, and it feels good. But you know, a guy like Weaver, if he starts throwing it by him, there's nothing the Mets will be able to do, and they can swing and miss with the best of them. They are definitely able to do that. So I like Weaver. Matz has looked a lot better, and he was a very talented pitcher. He struggled a little bit last year. part of the reason why was he wasn't throwing his slider, and I'm going to be kind of curious to watch this game and see if he starts using it again, because if he is, then I definitely think he's back. If he's not using it, I'm going to be a little concerned, but he's looked good in the spring training. I think he's fine, and I'm gonna take a shot on both these pitchers. I like both of them, and I want to get a lot of exposure to them.
Yeah, Luke Weaver, by the way, elite strikeout numbers last season, 28.6% strikeout rate against righties and 27% against lefties. His ground ball rate, too, nice and solid at 43.2% against righties, 44.7% against lefties. So, you know, these are things that we like to see. Keeping the hard contact down against lefties, too, which is very good. Hard contact down at 26.3% against lefties. So, Luke Weaver is a guy I really like. And how about that price tag on FanDuel, man? 7.8K. Just seems way too juicy for me, and I'm going to have to seriously consider him over there. And they still haven't got a picture for him over at FanDuel. Give the kid a picture already. Come on. He's won people a lot of money at this point in DFS. So
keep him without that picture. People will just be like, who is this guy? So I'm down for the no picture life, man. Keep it going, Luke Weaver. I like the no picture. It's done you well. You look good in it.
And like you said, on the flip side with Steven Matz, the kid has a lot of talent, struggled a little bit, but you know, looking at his numbers from last year, now if you look into the actual deeper numbers here, like the strikeout rate, 22% against righties, 17% against lefties. But his ground ball rate, man, his ground ball rate is nice and solid. 46.4% against righties and an elite top of the class, 63.9% ground ball rate against lefties. So, Matz is also a guy I like, and his price tag on FanDuel is also super cheap at 6.8K, so I'm going to have to consider him over there. But all in all, Luke Weaver is definitely one of my favorite pitchers on the slate, and I'm going to have a ton of exposure to him.
Yep, definitely agree with you on that. Like, him and Matz are just two guys I love, and I don't know. I think I'm kind of leaning Weaver more so. If you force me to pick, right, gun to my head, I think I'm getting go with Weaver. But I love both, and I think you should get exposure to both of them.
All right, so I guess the way we're talking about these pitchers, we're probably not going to target the bats, right?
Yeah, no chance. I will pass on the bats. Just don't think it's too. I don't think it's necessary on this slate for me.
Yeah, I agree. All right, on to the next game. We've got the Boston Red Sox in Tampa Bay against the Rays. You know, nice Tropicana Field is a nice pitcher's park here. 8 is the run total for the game, and another close. You know, expected to be close game. Pretty much a pick 'em on the money line. 109 for the Red Sox. 103 for the Rays. But you know, I looked at the pitchers in this game, and I thought that the total might be a little bit higher than 8. We got Hector Velasquez on the mound for the Red Sox and Jacob Faria on the mound for the Rays. Now, Faria was a kid that last season, man, he threw some really good games and showed some really good stuff. And now, all of a sudden, he's 6.4K. You know, it's the first time we see him this season because he's pitching against the Red Sox. But if that's the only reason that he's priced that cheap, because they're worried about him against the Red Sox. I mean, the kid has tremendous stuff, and he's in a pitcher's park. So, you know, there are plenty of reasons to like him at this price tag. I actually think that Faria is going to end up being one of my favorite tournament pitchers on the slate. I do believe that we'll get him under-owned. We look at his strikeout rate from last season to this season, 25.4% against righties, 19.8% against lefties, 51% ground ball rate against lefties. The kid is really good. The only problem that he has is he gives up a lot of hard contact, 35%. We've seen that in guys like Robbie Ray, and the strikeout upside and you know, the efficiency is okay to deal with that kind of hard contact rate that he gives up. And he is facing the Red Sox, so I doubt that people are really going to be jumping all over him. But I think Jacob Faria might be one of my favorite tournament plays here, Trev.
Oh, that's funny because, I'm trying to find, there's the chalk, right? The guys that we already know people are going to be on. So I'm trying to find, my contrarian tournament stack, right? And I, keep trying to, figure out which one it's going to be. And, there's not one that jumps off the page, right? Like, that's been kind of one of the issues. And I kind of think the Red Sox are interesting in this spot. Like you just mentioned it with the hard contact with Faria, right? Again, Faria, I'm not judging him as I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher because I kind of have a little interest in the Red Sox, but he has struggled a little bit against righties. He is really talented, and I get buying on that. I talked about it yesterday with a guy like Giolito, right? I like buying on young guys with young guys that are really cheap that have a lot of talent, and their prices are just going to naturally increase, right? Because they're better than what they are right now, and their price is just too cheap, which I feel that with Faria. But I do think there is possibilities of blow up. I don't know. Like, this lineup has Mookie Betts, Hanley Ramirez, JD Martinez, even Xander Bogaerts, who's launched like a ton of doubles so far this year at the wall. This lineup is loaded. You even have those lefties, Endeavors, and and Benintendi. I can't say his name that well, but yeah, he's there too. Like Nunez, he already has an inside the park home run this year, I think I saw. So like, man, this lineup is pretty loaded, and I kind of just think it goes on their own because, again, it's in Tampa. No one's really going to want that much exposure to it. So I don't know. I'm really thinking if I can get the Red Sox bats on their own, I just don't think anyone's going to be on them, and possibly they're going to be my favorite tournament like low-owned stack of the day. I think that's what I'm kind of thinking right now. Again, I don't really want to pick on Fari. I know he's a really talented pitcher, and I'm kind of scared of it, but if you're telling me I can possibly get JD Martinez and Mookie Betts under 10%, where do I sign?
Yeah, I don't know, Travis. I wouldn't stack against Fario if I were you, man.
I get it. I think the, you know, as I'm looking at it, like I like the Twins today, I like the Cubs and the Astros, but I'm just trying to look for that, like, you know, low on stack that no one's going to be on. And again, like me, I don't know, people saw the White Sox just put up 14 runs against Danny Duffy, and there was obviously reasons because he was struggling and whatnot, but I may have to dig deeper into it. But I just think it's interesting to just get these type of elite bats at such a low ownership on a guy that, again, like I said, I do like Fari. He's a guy I'm going to want to be buying in on in the future, but the Red Sox don't strike out a ton, so I don't really want to be taking him anyways because of that. And I think there's more talented pitchers already for not that much more. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I don't hate it. If you look at the, you know, again against righties, we have the fly ball percentage at, you know, 44%, and the hard hit rate is at 35.4. So again, I get why you're trying to talk me off it, Josh, but I don't know. I'm starting to get a little interested in it.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I can't talk you off it. How about the other side of this matchup here? What about Hector Velasquez? Any interest in him? Because when we look at his numbers, they're not as bad as I expected them to be. Like, his strikeout rate is, I think, to write home about 17% against righties, 21% against lefties. His walk rate is actually very small, 3.6% against, or 3.8% against righties. 10.7% against lefties, a little bit higher there against lefties. So it looks like he's a little wild against lefties. Gets really good ground balls from righties, 51.2%, just 36.6% against lefties. So it looks like his struggles, you know, come from lefties. 42% fly ball rate against lefties, by the way, too, and 31.6%. So, I mean, reading all this, well, the numbers, like I said, they weren't as bad as I expected them to be, but what it does is it puts interest in the Rays lefties for me, you know, even in, you know, like guys like, you know, Brad Miller or like Kiermaier or Span. The issue is none of these guys are really big hitting lefty hitters, and they're, you know, in a pitcher's park. So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe that high fly ball rate that he has against lefties won't hurt him in this park. You think that could work to his advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could. I'm not, you know, I looked at this and I was like, oh, maybe we could side against this guy, because I was kind of trying to figure him out, but he doesn't seem as bad as I was thinking was going to be, right? But I don't know. Do you really have that much interest in stacking up the Rays? That's kind of one of the issues. Like, where's the power here? Especially, again, like I said, I don't love this ballpark. That was, again, another reason why I was like, oh, I really don't know if I want to go with the Sox or not, and have much interest in them, because, but they have such power bats. I think they can able to, you know, I think they can be able to muster it together and really get it done enough. But I worry about the power on the Rays lineup. So I don't know. I think it's just like a spot where I'm just going to kind of stay away. If you wanted to mix and match some guys, I wouldn't hate it. Some of the lefties right against Velasquez. Maybe get like a Span, a Kiermaier, a Miller. I wouldn't hate doing that, but it wouldn't go too crazy.
All right. So anyone else you want to mention here in this game?
Nah, we can move on to the next one.
All right, next game on the slate. We've got the Pittsburgh Pirates in Detroit against the Tigers. 8.5 is the run total. Trevor Williams against Michael Fulmer here. Michael Fulmer is a guy that we've seen just garnish ownership over the last season, too. So, interesting. Interesting guy. I'm not sure if he's going to get a ton of ownership on this slate. But when we look at this Pirates lineup, I'm not really afraid of it. I don't know how you feel about it when you look at it, but it kind of like makes me want to play Fulmer just by eyeballing the Pittsburgh lineup. How do you feel about it, Travis?
I mean, I get if you want to play Fulmer, I think he's fine. But I don't know. They just don't feel like they feel like there's just better, like cheaper options that have more upside. So I'm kind of just staying away from him right now. Again, like I said, I like the Weaver. I like the Mats. I'd rather kind of target those guys. And there's some other ones that we'll talk about too. But yeah, I don't know. I just think there's a better upside pitchers on this slate that just like, again, like a guy like Berrios, I think there's more K upside for him than Fulmer here. So I don't know. I just don't like the K upside as much. I think sure, in cash games, he feels kind of safe and fine. You feel like you won't get burned with him, but not going too overboard on a guy like Fulmer.
All right. How about on the other side of this? Any interest in Williams?
Yeah, no interest in Williams. Again, like I said, there's enough cheap pitcher options where I think we can get away with it. Like if I'm going super cheap, we talked, you know, I would have more interest in a guy like Faria. I think he'd be more interesting at that really cheap price tag. So for me, I'm just kind of staying away from him. No need to go with Williams. Do you have any interest in the bats? It's going to be a little bit of a cold weather game. That's my one worry. Like 36 degrees out there in Detroit. Do you have any interest in these bats?
Oh, we're already starting with Travis and the weather. They're already happy.
Oh, dude. The weather's the best, man. The weather is awesome. So, yeah, I'm all over the weather normally, and it's going to be good for these pitchers, right? It's going to be a better pitcher environment if it is 36 degrees. That's what I'm seeing on the RotoGrinders page here, but I don't know. I'd rather something more closer to lock when I kind of break it down completely. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just, it's going to be kind of cold, so that's obviously not going to help the bats that much.
You know, you could get a Detroit stack for pretty cheap on DraftKings. That's something you might want to mess around with. But I don't know. I'm just not thrilled. No, I'm not thrilled. If I was, you know, the only guys I'd really target if you're going to do a Detroit stack, my only advice is just to go with the righties because Williams does have reverse splits when it comes to hard contact, 33.5% hard hits to righties. So that's the route I would go is I'd go for those righty bats. Like, obviously, like, you want to get Miggy in there and Castellanos and some James McCann or Victor Martinez. I'm just not, no, like you said, the weather's not great. That does make a difference. And I'm not like, there's other spots I like better. So outside of a tournament shot of Fulmer, maybe a stack of the righty bats on Detroit, I think that's about it for me in this game.
Yep, same with me again. Like I don't mind your Detroit stack idea. Like if you tell me to pick which team I would stack, that would be the one. And I make sure to get like the Miggies and the Castellanoses and those type of guys. And then kind of move on from there. Again, not a team that I want to be overweight on, more so underweight.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Chicago Cubs in Miami against the Marlins. 8 runs is the total. The Cubs, a heavy road favorite, implied run total 4.76. Miami Marlins implied run total 3.24. The Cubs minus 207 on the money line. Big favorite here. And that's with Jose Quintana on the mound. Quintana, man, last season just came, you know, once he went to Chicago, it was like a whole different guy, man. He just started lighting it up, striking out hitters, putting up huge numbers. I really felt like I was watching a different pitcher when I watched him throw and went to Chicago. It's like all of a sudden he had something to pitch for. You know, he has a good matchup here too against this weak Miami team. Very worn down lineup. Even though Darvish struggled a little bit tonight, I do feel like Quintana is in a good spot here. We see that you know, the Miami hitters strike out, you know, 26.3% is their lefty strikeout, 26.3% of the time. Their righty's a little bit smaller here, but overall 20.2% strikeout rate for the Miami hitters. And their ISO is just not, you know, where you would think it would be, to where it'd feel like a threat. It's at 141, 320 team WOBA. Let's look at Quintana's numbers, Travis. 23.8% strikeout rate to righties, 24.2% to lefties. 3.8% walk rate to lefty, 7.6 to righty. So he doesn't walk a lot of guys. He's not a wild threat here. 40% ground ball rate to righties, 50% ground ball rate to lefties. Hard hits, a little bit high in the 30% range, but I'm just not concerned here. I think I kind of know, like, I want to play Quintana here, Travis.
Yeah, I like Quintana here. He's a guy that if you want to spend on it, I think he's a good option. I like his FanDuel price more than the DraftKings one, but Quintana, just, this is a great spot for him. Love him here. I mean, just a good environment in general. Not the easiest park to hit into. The Marlins, they clearly have a really bad run total because, hey, they're the Marlins, and this is a spot I'm really going to believe in Quintana. Yu Darvish, you know, he struggled yesterday, and there's reasons why. It sounded like I was looking at, like, it just, like, was cramping, and there was a lot of other stuff. So they say, like, jitters, and so I don't know. I think I'm going to end up giving him a pass after reading about some of this stuff here on Darvish, and, like, he left in the fifth inning, and then they exhausted that bullpen on Friday. Like, they need Quintana to pitch some, like, you know, good amount of innings here. Like, I feel like we're guaranteeing, like, at least six here. Maybe he's got that, like, push for seven, right? Just could be really efficient. I like Quintana here. He's a guy I definitely want to be spending my money on. On DraftKings, it's a little interesting, right? Do I want to spend that entire price tag of 11.7K on Quintana? I think it's fine. You know, if you do want to, like, play him in a Weaver, it just might be harder to get the bats in. But again, I think he's a really good option, and love him on FanDuel. And I'll still definitely get exposure on DraftKings as well. So he's someone that I'm going to love a lot. And then the Cubs offense, I'm going to love them against Dylan Peters here. I think they're a really good option to target. Again, this isn't the greatest hitting park, and with the roof being open, that'll help a little bit, but still not the easiest park to hit the ball out of. But definitely have interest in some of these guys. Like, you know, if you want to stack up the Cubs, it is a lefty in Dylan Peters, but just play Anthony Rizzo, because people won't play him lefty-lefty, and he's still good against lefties. And be on the lookout for that lineup, because Joe Maddon likes to do a lot of funky things, and there might be, like, a good amount of value. You know, he might throw someone at the top, like an Albert Almora. That could help us out. And he just really mess around with the lineup, where it could, you know, make it easier to get these Cubs in than you would think.
Yeah, could somebody call FanDuel and tell him to lower Contreras's, raise Contreras's price tag over there? $3,400, man, like... Contreras hasn't been even close to 4K on FanDuel, and he should be.
Here's the best thing about him. Like, no one's going to own him. He's a catcher. Like, it's catcher and first base is consolidated now, and no one's going to play him. So, like, you're going to get him under-owned. Like, that's the thing with, like, these, like, power-hitting catchers. Like, a Gary Sanchez, too. Like, you are going to get them under-owned because all these other people are taking first baseman. So, I think if you're playing the Cubs, right, I don't know if you already feel contrarian right away with Contreras, but I think it's interesting. Like, just the ownership's already going to be down. That's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's got to... He's got the second highest ISO in the lineup at 210 and 376 wOBA here. Like, the kid can hit, man. Like, he's the second biggest bat. He's the second biggest bat in the Cubs lineup. Like, I don't think you realize that. Here's Chris Bryant's ISO is 270, wOBA 420. And this is including last season too. Contreras, 210 ISO, 376 wOBA. Rizzo, 211 ISO, 358 wOBA. So Contreras is the second biggest bat in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I like him too. I'm definitely getting exposure to him. And again, like I said, I think people will still overlook him because people just don't want to play catchers. They don't. Like, it's just plain and simple. It's something that people, they never like playing catchers and whatnot. I know there's, like, these exceptions, but it's easier to click on those cheap first basemen that people are like, oh, I can get a cheap home run here from this first baseman that's way too underpriced right now, and it's early in the season. Like, so it's, yeah, I love these Cubs. Definitely like your take on Contreras. And yeah, I'm definitely going to want to get exposure to this team.
Yep. All right. Anyone else here in this game you want to mention? I mean, obviously no interest in the Miami bats, right?
No, that's about it. No interest in the Miami bats. I'll pass on them. We can go to the next game.
All right. We've got the Chicago White Sox in Kansas City against the Royals. 8.5 is the run total. Kansas City Royals, a slight home favorite. There is some weather concerns here in this game, so make sure you check out the weather page on RotoGrinders and keep updated with that. It looks like we're going to have some thunderstorms. But yeah, we got Ronaldo Lopez on the mound for the White Sox, throwing against Jason Hamill on the Kansas City Royals side. Travis, any interest in either of these guys throwing on the mound?
No, I will not look to get any exposure to these pitchers here. I will definitely pass on them. I am wondering with the weather, though, because I don't know if you're seeing on the RotoGrinders page, we got it's got the red clouds and whatnot. Like, is there going to be bad weather here? You know, stay tuned to Roth. I'm sure he'll be posting something in the morning for us. Let me see real quick. I doubt he has anything up yet, but I can check because normally he posts it Sunday mornings and whatnot. Hang on 1 second. Pulling it up now. And... it is loading. It's loading. No really news on that yet. So again, stay tuned for that because obviously it could be bad. And looking at like the RotoGrinders page, you know, it shows what times it's going to rain. It looks like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and then six. But again, it could obviously change and could go on further than that. But it's going to be cold too. It looks like it's going to be like 32 degrees around there. Or at least that's, I think, what it is now. It's like 50 degrees. So I don't know. Again, like, this weather is going to be something we have to monitor. I could see myself just staying away from this game because of like the weather and whatnot, and just, you know, possible, I'm expecting it's just going to possibly be postponed and whatnot, or have like, you know, rain delays, and I don't really want to deal with that. But if this game is a full go, I don't know, who are you looking to really play, Josh? I kind of don't hate maybe going with the White Sox side a little bit if I had to pick, but again, I really don't like this game too much.
You passed right through Jason Hamill, man.
I don't want Jason Hamill. Do you want him?
Well, you just said the weather's not going to be great, so if the game plays, it's going to be a tough, you know, hitting environment for the hitters. Hamill is a fly ball pitcher, but in the rain, that's actually kind of counteracted a little bit. We also have his strikeout rate hovering around the 20% mark. And these the White Sox hitters, man, strike out a ton. They strike out almost as much as anyone else, almost the most out of anyone in the league. 27.5% team strikeout rate, Travis. So, I mean, this is a spot where Hamill could come out. Like, but, you know, he puts up those big games every now and then. This could be a big Hamill game, man, if everything works out right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he is cheap. I'll give you that, right? If you're looking for a cheap guy, he's fine. Like, FanDuel, he's really cheap. I think he's 5.8K. DraftKings, we have him at 7.1K. I don't know. This sounds lame, but I kind of just want to find the $900 for Luke Weaver or up to Steven Matz. I think it's just kind of simple for me with that. So I don't know. I guess I'll save Jason Hamill for you, Josh.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, if you happen to see someone take down a GPP tomorrow with Jason Hamill as their pitcher, don't dismiss the guy as a donkey, because like, it definitely makes sense to play Jason Hamill in tournaments tomorrow. There's certain things that line up that put Jason Hamill in a pretty premium spot if the game plays. So I'm definitely going to make sure I get some Jason Hamill out there. I'm not saying he's the best play. I'm just saying that, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he puts up a pretty big game here and kind of shocks everyone. But yeah, let's look at these hitters, though. Like you said, you know, obviously, if I'm interested in Hamill, I'm not going to be interested in any of these White Sox too much, and it's not going to be a great hitting environment, like we said. But on the other side, I think some of these Kansas City bats are in play, because Ronaldo Lopez gives up massive, massive numbers to lefties. 9.8% walk rate to lefties, 45.4% fly ball rate to lefties, 32.9% hard contact to opposing left-handed hitters. So that puts like John Jay, Moustakas, Duda, Gordon, like all in play for me. Any of the lefties in this Kansas City lineup are fair game for me. On the other side, he actually throws pretty decently against righties, so I'm not going to chase that. Ground ball pitcher against righties and keeps the hard contact, you know, pretty down. Like, you see his hard contact's like a full 10 points lower against opposing righties. So for me, like, just the Kansas City lefties, that's where I'm going to go if any of the hitters. How about you?
Yeah, so like, it's just the lefties only, like, and it's probably like the power lefties like Moustakas and Duda, and that's it. Mainly just focus on them as one-offs. Maybe guys you can throw in cash here and there, but I'm not going too crazy with these guys. I just I'm gonna wait for like the Royals to prove that they can like win a slate as a stack until I really kind of consider them, because I just don't see a ton of power in this lineup for me to really have a lot of interest right now. I mean, let me just read you the names: John Jay, Whit Merrifield, Moustakas, Duda, Chesler, Cuthbert, Jorge Soler. These guys, Alex Gordon, Alcides Escobar, Drew Butera. These aren't guys that really tear the cover off the ball. So I'll focus on Moustakas and Duda for my power one offs here and there, and then that's kind of about it with the Royals.
All right, so that's it for the FanDuel slate, but DraftKings includes the next game, so we're going to just talk about that real quick. We got the Houston Astros in Texas against the Rangers. Battle of the Texas teams here. 9.5 is the game total. Now, this is actually like a pretty significant game, Travis, to like add to a slate, because it's a huge, massive total at 9.5. It's played in Texas, where we know it's a hitter's park, and the Astros are, you know, a pretty hot hitting team, and the Rangers could get going too, you know, in the right spot, and they get to face Garrett Cole, who we've seen kind of explode and be a gas can, and we've seen him throw pretty well, so we don't know what Garrett Cole we're gonna get. But on, you know, the Texas Rangers side, they're putting Mike Minor on the mound, and that's just absolutely not fair. The Astros have one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball against opposing left-handed pitchers, and that's George Springer. George Springer actually has better splits against lefties, career splits against left-handed pitchers, than Nelson Cruz. And Nelson Cruz is a guy that we just like lock in there every time, you know, he's facing a lefty. So if you're going to lock in Cruz against a lefty, you lock in George Springer as well. Also, Altuve, great splits against lefties. Correa, Marwin Gonzalez can hit lefties. Evan Gattis can hit lefties. There's plenty of guys here that can, Alex Bregman can hit lefties. There's plenty of guys here that can hit lefties in this lineup. I think, like, if I'm playing DraftKings, I really want to get an all-righties Astro stack here against Mike Minor. I'm just not afraid of him, and I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of him. He's throwing in a hitter's park against some guys, against some of the best hitters in the league, and it's not going to work out well for him by any means. Like, just look at the numbers real quick before I pass it to you. Like, Mike Minor, 32.8% hard contact against opposing lefties. Against righties, 25.2%, but his fly ball rate, 44.7% against righties. A 45% fly ball rate is not going to fly in you know, out there in the Texas ballpark. You know, the range, you know, it's going to, the Rangers are going to see a lot of home runs from the other side. You know, the Astros, I think, in this game, we're going to see a ton of runs. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're my favorite team to stack today. Like, I'm gonna be all over the Astros. They're the team I want to get the most exposure to. Just something to note, they tweeted this out on Friday, some Astros news. Max Stacy or Stassi, however you say his name, he's gonna be the catcher for this game. So if you're expecting, you know, McCann and Gattis, like, newsflash, you're not getting both of them. One of them will sit. So just something to kind of note. And with this being like a 305 game, we'll probably get the lineup in time. But just something to know. You know, if you're expecting one of those guys to be in, like both to be in, and one of them sits, and you're like, what the heck? Well, I told you so, because they said Max Stassi's going to catch for Gerrit Cole. So yeah, that's kind of news to just note about that. But yeah, like I want to load up on these guys, right? I want the Springers. I want the Bregmans, Altuve, Correa. You know, give me Marwin Gonzalez. Like I'll load up on all these guys. I think it's a great spot for them, and it's going to be chalky and whatnot. Maybe we go like with like a Max Stacy or whatever his name is, like as like a, you know, the fifth guy that maybe hits at the bottom of the order. He's 2.5k. maybe that helps get in the pitchers you like enough, and he hits that like random low owned home run that no one has. But I don't know, again, I'm just trying to like trying to find ways to be different with this stack, because when you kind of make an Astro stack, you're like, okay, I want Springer, I want Bregman, I want Altuve, Correa, and then who are you going to kind of make it different with that you know, last spot, right? Is it Gattis, Gonzalez? Who's the guy, right? You really want Jake Mariznick. So I don't know. It's just kind of very interesting and whatnot. So yeah, definitely love this stack. I think it's going to be one that you want to get exposure to on this slate, and you know, you can stack it up all these different ways and whatnot.
Yeah, like I'm building lineups on DraftKings, just click George Springer's name and then work around him. I'm dead serious when I say that to you. I'm not even just joking around. Like, you want George Springer tomorrow against Mike Minor. But yeah, is that that's it. We covered the slates for you guys.
Here's a question for you. Again, I think we just discuss it because, right, it's baseball. Things can happen. You have any interest in the Texas bats? Gerrit Cole has, you know, he has struggled at times, right? This is a guy that has not always had it. He has games where when he's off, right? He just walks people terribly and just is completely out of control. So do you have faith in Gerrit Cole here? He's one of those guys that I feel like people always say, oh yeah, he's a pretty good pitcher, but like sometimes we just like expect better from him, and it's, I'm just kind of torn at what I want to do here, because again, if everyone's playing the Astros, is anyone playing the Rangers? I'm just trying to find ways to be different, and I don't think this is the spot to do it, but what do you think? Any takes on that, especially if like the roof is open, right? It's gonna be like 70 degrees. That's good hitting environment too.
Yeah, I don't hate the Texas bats. I just didn't want to like go out of my way to talk about the Texas bats, because I do believe that Gerrit Cole, he did look sharp, you know, coming into the season, and I think that we're gonna see him have a few good performances before we see him kind of blow up, and I don't think this is gonna be like the blow up spot for Gerrit Cole. That's all.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, again, he's not someone that I'm like dying the roster and whatnot. I do think that Gerrit Cole's gonna be a lot better with the Astros, right? He's gonna have some pretty talented guys with him, like the McCullers and Keuchels. They can definitely help him out with pitching and whatnot and just getting through some things. So he's not a, it's not a spot I'm targeting, but I don't know. Like I said, I just like feel like I'm like just, oh, Astros, Cubs, and it just seems like super chalky and super lame, and I'm just trying to find ways to get a little creative, because you know, sometimes that can win some slates, and if you can get just some teams low owned, it's worth considering. So I kind of like to kind of think that through and whatnot, and there might be someone over there saying, hey, what about the Rangers? So trying to at least give the Rangers a little bit of love.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole also has an upgraded defense behind him than what he's used to, by the way, so that's something that's going to help him too.
Would you pay up for him today? Like, would you get exposure to him? I mean, he's kind of expensive. Like, and we talk about how we don't love the Rangers bats, but like there is strikeout upside here with a lot of these guys. I mean, Joey Gallo, he'll strike out with the best of them. They have guys that will K. So is there any interest to pay up for a guy like Gerrit Cole?
Not for me, no, but I just, I don't, not because I think he's not going to do well. I just think he's going to put out like a nice efficient outing, and then they're going to bring the bullpen in kind of like early. Like we'll see like five and a third out of Cole, I think. Then they move to the bullpen, they seal up the win. So I don't think it's worth paying up for, but I could see why you might want to do that. Like I wouldn't say like you're a maniac for playing Cole in this slate. Why are you like experimenting with Cole lineups over there, Travis?
No, I just, you know, again, like we talked about how we don't think he's a, we think he's a fine option, but like, I'm just asking, right? Just asking the question, trying to give all the pitchers some love here. So, yeah, he's not one of my core guys in there. If someone said, hey, I'm playing Gerrit Cole, I wouldn't be like, take him out of your roster. I'd be like, okay, that's fine. If he fits your construction and you like him, go for it. But, just, you know, just trying to endorse him for the people that want him and whatnot. And again, there's just other pitchers I'm preferring. Like, you know, we talked about him, Quintana, Weaver, and Nats. Those are kind of three pitchers I'm really, keying in on right now.
All right, let's do our Easter egg stacks of the day. Easter special stack of the day here for you guys on the Weekend Grind podcast. Travis, it sounds like you have a couple teams in mind, so you want to go ahead and spit them out?
No, Josh, I'll let you go first. Pick yours, and then I'll clean up and end it off, because I got a bunch of different ones I can consider, so you can start it off.
All right, like I hate to sound super chalky, but on DraftKings, it's just going to be the Astros is my stack of the day for sure. Going to try to find a way to make that work. If we're going to look at FanDuel, I will go with the Cubs will be my stack on FanDuel. So those are my two stacks. I know they sound like pretty like lame and chalky, but oh, and also, you know what? Just I'll give you guys a little bonus, the Kansas City Royal lefties, but we said that already, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, Astros, like on DraftKings, they're the chalky stack to go with. They're the one that you want to kind of load in your lineups, and I'm sure I'll play one of those, but I'm sure I'm going to try and, you know, obviously I'm going to run it back with some different guys. Like, I'm going to put some other, like, I'm going to do some five-man stacks of the Astros and then maybe put, like, three-man ones in there. So which ones will I pick? I mean, I kind of think I'm going to go with the Red Sox. I just think it's interesting. And also give a shout out to the Rangers one too. But the Red Sox is the one I'm kind of planting my flag on and that I really want to kind of make it. I think on FanDuel, that's what I'm going to do. I think it's going to be like Astros on DraftKings is one I'm definitely going to get some exposure to. Maybe I'm going to run it back with like Rangers and kind of do just a full game stack of that one and hope it just shoots out completely. Maybe they hit off the bullpen or something, or you just get a home run here or there off Cole. That could help me out. And then on FanDuel, I'm going to go with the Red Sox because again, the Astros aren't on there. And Red Sox will be my favorite team over there. Then I'm going to try and get some exposure too and hope that those big bats that just have some big names finally show up here, you know, on this Easter Sunday.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Again, don't forget to give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. That's at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone, at Travis Mangone. Hope you guys enjoy your holiday and family time and enjoy the games. And we'll talk to you guys, like I said, on Twitter. And we will be back next weekend with the Weekend Grind podcast. Happy to be back talking baseball with you guys, and we'll see you guys soon. Peace out, Grinders.
Sometimes I feel like she don't care as much as I do. It's weird. Sometimes I feel like she's unfair. Hit me with that winter stare. Sometimes I can see she's scared. Ghosting me like I'm not there. Sometimes I think she's unaware that I'm still me, I swear. Bring your baggage, baby, I will take it. I'll bring mine and we'll go on vacation. Know our strength has never been patience. Let's enjoy what was worth this waiting. Kept our memories alive so I could feel closer, knowing that we'll never get closure. So much bigger than just saying it's over. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything. Sometimes I feel I lost my mind and wish I had a way to rewind. Sometimes I feel a pain in my chest and I would rather write than rest. She just wants me in the bed, but I can't get out my head though. Without her I'm incomplete, stronger than the air I breathe. Bring your baggage, baby, I will take it. I'll bring mine and we'll go on vacation. Know our strength has never been patience. Let's enjoy what was worth this waiting. Kept our memories alive so I could feel closer, knowing that we'll never get closure. So much bigger than just saying it's over. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. 24/7 when I'm stone cold sober. Hey, tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything, yeah. Tell me that you feel the same. Tell me that you feel the same, yeah. When you feel that November rain, tell me this is everything.
Sometimes I feel like she don't care as much as I do, it's weird. Sometimes I feel like she's unfair, hit me with that winter stare. Sometimes I can see she's scared, ghosting me like I'm not there. Sometimes I think she's unaware that I'm still me, I swear.
24/7